Sir Krishna, we'll start today. So we'll just briefly review what we discussed last time. Yes, everybody was there, right? Last class, yeah. Does anybody remember some points which we discussed? So we were covering 25 to 32, that section. What is that section about? So Krishna is comparing both the person who is attached and person who is detached. And second point, there is other point.
Realize people shouldn't disturb the people.
So how does, second point was, how does a detached man relate to a person who is attached? These are the two things Krishna is going to discuss in this section. Right, so in text number 25, what are some of the points we discussed? 25, 26 and we covered 25 and 26, right?
Mataji, ignorant people and Krishna conscious people, they do same work, but one is attached, other is detached.
And also, what's the main difference?
Consciousness
is the difference. Yeah. So then, what was the practical application for us? We took some practical application based on that, right? Related to devotees. What did we say?
We should not imitate.
We should not, differentiate services, based on the activities. You cannot say, this person is doing this service, so he's lower. It's not activity. It's the consciousness. Right? That's what we thought. Then, what else? Some other points? So then the detached person has to show by example how to act. Okay, then 26, verse number 26. What is Krishna saying here? That's Swami Prabhu was telling earlier.
Yeah, so the detached person, acting with attached person, shouldn't stop attached person from doing his doing activities, even if it is fruitive, because it's still gradual. Right? Even fruitive activities anyway, it needs to.
Okay, so you should not
understand it.
You should not stop him, because he'll get, basically, it's just, it will be disruptful for him. It's like doing nothing for him, right? But otherwise, what should he do? The first thing is, he should not stop him. Second point, positive.
We should engage him.
Yeah, somehow or the other, engage him in Krishna conscious activities based on, their nature and, you were saying something from,
by setting example.
By setting example also, and like, for example, offering prasadam, based on their level of consciousness, we can engage them. Some people, we can directly bring them to temple. Some people, we can bring them home and offer prasadam. Some people, we can bring them to Kirtan, depending on their nature and inclination and our relationship.
Or engage them in
services. Some people are not inclined to come to temple, they can participate in outdoor festivals, service there. After many years, then they will say, okay, where is the center which is, conducting these festivals? Then they say, I want to come to the center. So what was practical application we took for us in the day-to-day lives? We see many relatives.
We don't follow strictly what they do,
in this, related to this verse, some of our relatives may be engaged in demigod worship. So we should not stop them or disturb them, right? So even though we know the philosophy, just by saying the philosophy, we'll because they are not ready to, they are not qualified to accept that Krishna yet, right? So we should not disturb them, but gradually engage them. So that was a practical application for us. Yeah, it's very important for you to take note of, you know, otherwise Bhagavad Gita, it may seem very theoretical, you know, nothing for me. But when we think about this, you know, what does it mean to me at my level and, you know, my circumstances, then we can, you know, imbibe the message. Otherwise, it may, like, you know, go from here. So, otherwise, then it become like, you know, we can make it part of our lives as much as possible. That's why when I tried to see, you know, what does it mean to me, like, you know, like, as a practicing devotee, you know, is there any message for me? Actually, they just said that, you know, Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, if we read it very sincerely, you know, we can see that Srila Prabhupada is actually talking to us. You know, personally, it's like, I never had the realization. But I heard it, you know, you can have that much amount of connection with Srila Prabhupada. Mm. And let's say if you are pondering about some problem in life or something, you know, which is not solving, like, you know, very much bothering you, and suddenly you read some section of Bhagavatam, suddenly you will get, you know, enlightenment. Like, you know, either, you know, it's not too much to worry about, you know, that's such a petty problem to, you know, spend so much time about, or you'll get some clue how to solve about it.
Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita?
Yeah, if it's, I heard it about Bhagavatam, but I think, you know, it's it's about our faith, right, and sincerity. So it should be, and our, you know, Mukundatha Prabhu is there, right? Like, he used to be in Seattle. He used to be in Seattle for a while, and now he's in India, a Western devotee. And he reads Bhagavad Gita every day, and he says that, you know, that is his source of shelter. Whenever, you know, some, we have actually different processes of devotion service we can take shelter of. Many people are inclined to different things. Like, some people chant, for some people it's chanting. Like, whenever I'm distressed, let's say I go and chant, then I feel some, you know, relief or connection to Krishna, or I feel that, you know, I'm just above this. So, you know, I'm equipped to solve my problem. And some people it's like reading, some people it's like hearing. So, different ways we can take shelter of Krishna. We have to find out at least one of that for us. So when in situation like this, we know we could be actually taking shelter of so many material things, right? That's what we are known to do. Like, you know, maybe we'll go for a movie when I'm disturbed, right? I'll go for a movie, or I'll go for a party, or I'll go, you know, just go for a long drive. So many options generally we used to do. But like that, we should find something within Krishna which, where we feel that you know, that strength. We should cultivate that. It doesn't come automatically. We should find something which we are more attracted to. Like, you know, if I'm attracted to chanting or reading or hearing, like that. And then just develop on that. Whenever I'm in distress, let's do that. Then we will see actually Krishna reciprocating to us through that medium. Because especially in that moment, we are so eager, right? Eager to receive His mercy. Then Krishna reciprocates. Yeah, I remember long time back actually, nowadays maybe I'm not hearing this so sincerely. So long time back, you know, Radhanath Maharaj, you know, right? He's also Prabhupada's disciple. So his lectures are systematically arranged based on themes. Like, you know, simplicity or gratitude and forgiveness. So what I used to do is, like whenever during the day something bothers, a particular thing, like I try to identify what is a specific quality I need to develop. Like, either it's forgiveness, either it's ego. I realize that, you know, I'm not humble enough, that's why it happened, or I realize, you know, okay, I should be forgiving. So then I was trying to, you know, listen that particular topic, so, you know, I can easily imbibe based on that mood of the day. So when I listen to that lecture, it so happens that, you know, something it strikes like that. Then I used to share with Maharaj disciple Sundaran Prabhu. I feel, you know, these words of Maharaj, it's like they're so striking, you know, they touch the heart, and exactly whatever I had to hear, he is speaking. Then what Prabhu was telling, you know, it's actually your eagerness. Of course, Maharaj is, you know, so potent, he could do that, but what usually we miss is our eagerness. But when we are so eager, then automatically Krishna reveals through that medium. Either it's hearing or Bhagavad Gita or so many other ways. But only thing what we need to do is we need to cultivate that, depending on Krishna, one of these mediums, whenever we need that help. Then we will see, you know, how Krishna reciprocates. Anybody has any experience like that? In, have you ever tried this and have you felt Krishna's reciprocation? No, like if we feel,
I felt something disturbed or like that, I listen to lectures.
Then you feel like
something
very refreshing. Yeah. Yeah, that's reciprocation.
The dream I had.
Dream you had? What you had in dream?
Like a chanting of Hare Krishna mantra.
Oh, you heard in the dream?
No, I was chanting. To help some people.
Oh, okay.
And then the problem got solved.
Oh.
Something.
You're saying something. So
you're saying that like when you're disturbed, you need to identify which is a quality that you are lacking. Right? And you said you used to listen to some lectures, right? Those topics, what are those topics? Like, where are those, like, what kind of lectures?
These are lectures. Of course, Srila Prabhupada's all disciples have left lectures.
Mm-hmm.
But I was particularly listening to Radhanath Maharaj lectures.
So what I'm saying is topic based, right?
Yeah, they're topic based, yes.
So where do you get
it? It's ISKCON Desire Tree.
Okay.
audio.iskondesiretree.info. Mm-hmm. There are all the Maharaj's lectures are there.
Yeah.
You can see Radhanath Maharaj also. There you'll see there's some themes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, because that way I found it more interesting also to listen to lectures. Because generally we listen, then we it's like, okay, generally something is going on. But when we listen based on what I want to hear today, or like, you know, what is my situation today, or some fight which happened with my husband or something, then it more sinks in, like, you know, then we can absorb it better. Anyway, that's something I was doing. There are different ways.
Is it true that, like, what we just mentioned, you said I am disturbed because I'm lacking something, is that the premise, or is it the circumstance?
That reminds me of a statement Srila Prabhupada says, you know, very, very strong statement. He says, whatever difficulty I face, I wish I could state it exactly how he says. It's very, very powerful in one sentence, but I'm paraphrasing it. Whatever difficulty I face, it's due to my lack of Krishna consciousness.
So, this actually,
no, actually, this this statement is so potent that, you know, it can answer any problem we face in our lives. It's not just this or that or this or that, right? Like, whatever difficulty I face, it's due to my lack of Krishna consciousness. So it could be as extreme as, you know, death, fearing death. Even in death is approaching, if I am Krishna conscious, I need not be afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Or if it could be as minor as, you know, fight with my mother-in-law or, you know, somebody else, right? It could be as minor as that, but if you go deep, we'll find out that actually it's my lack of Krishna consciousness. If I am Krishna conscious, then I see everybody as Krishna servants. Then with everybody, I can be in a very amicable way, right? If I'm fighting with somebody, means I'm not seeing them as part of Krishna. That means I'm lacking Krishna consciousness.
But you may be trying to approach in an amicable way, but maybe the other person is not as Krishna conscious. So why would I take it as I am lacking?
Because in any situation, there are things which both the parties have to work on.
Okay,
no, one second.
I'm just trying
share, like, you know, let's say if we talk about two devotees, it becomes more complicated when it's between two devotees. Because both devotees wants to follow Krishna sincerely and they want to surrender sincerely, right? Then what to say, you know, that devotee is wrong versus this devotee is wrong.
So let me cite another example.
Let me clarify this. So in any situation, what we need to do is, what helps us is, what I can, how I can improve myself. That only helps me positively. if I start thinking about, you know, how this situation will make that person better, then it will not help me. Right? That person has to do that introspective calculation to do it. And of course, maybe we may be humble and say, you know what, in this situation, you know, these things you are missing. If you do it, this will be good for you. We could go and tell, but what's the point?
You'll make it worse.
So, it's, that's actually the mood of a devotee, that in any situation, they take a humble position and say, okay, maybe that person is better, but there is something I am missing. Because devotee wants to see in every situation how I can improve my service to Krishna.
So I was trying to say from the point of view, for instance, you were in an accident, and it's not your creation, but you would have to suffer the consequences.
Yes.
You would be in pain, or you would have to. It's not something you are responsible for. But you have to go through the after effects of that.
Yeah, so how, you're saying, how can I say it's my lack of Krishna consciousness?
Yeah. You may be completely oblivious to anything.
Because I lacked Krishna consciousness earlier, I had to face this reaction now.
Okay.
Right?
That way it can be
there. So, what I'm saying is, we can have, faith in this statement which Srila Prabhupada is giving us, because this helps us in becoming more and more Krishna conscious. We may argue, whether this is, an absolute solution to all problems of life.
Is it rational?
Yeah.
Probably not, but it's spiritual, yes.
Yes, yeah. So, we can take it as it's...
Because we can think that something major would have happened, this got this much, within this much, we are able to at least get through.
Yeah. Anyway, I think we're diverging a lot, so... Okay, so what else is there in verse number 26? To find some of the points. So we should not disturb the people. Yeah, and rather we should engage them in direct Krishna consciousness. Then, they can get the final result. Because the goal of Vedas is to know Krishna. So we can directly engage them in Krishna consciousness. Okay. So that's okay? Summary? So we will we'll start today's verse, text number, that is 27. Madishpa, batteries low. Okay. प्रकृते क्रियमानानि गुणै कर्माणि सर्वशः अहंकारा विमूलात्मा सत्ताहम् इति मन्यते. प्रकृते क्रियमानानि गुणै कर्माणि सर्वशः अहंकारा विमूलात्मा कर्ताहम् इति मन्यते. The spirit soul, bewildered by the influence of false ego, thinks himself the doer of activities that are in actuality carried out by the three modes of material nature. So here in this verse, Krishna is talking about the thinking of an attached person. So earlier, remember, he was talking about both attached man and detached man, right? So now he's telling what does the attached person think while he's doing his activities?
He is the doer.
He thinks he is the doer. The spirit soul, because of the influence of false ego, thinks he is actually the doer. But actually, what's happening? Who is doing things? They are carried out by
three
modes of material nature. What are the three modes?
Sattva,
guna, rajo. Okay. Mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Yeah. Okay, we'll read the purport. Somebody can read from that.
two persons, one in Krishna consciousness and the other in material consciousness, working on the same level, may appear to be working on the same platform, but there is a wide gulf of difference in their respective positions. The person in material consciousness is convinced by false ego that he is the doer of everything. He does not know that the mechanism of the body is produced by material nature, which works under the supervision of the Supreme Lord. The materialistic person has no knowledge that ultimately he is under the control of Krishna. The person in false ego takes all credit for doing everything independently, and that is the symptom of his nescience. He does not know that this gross and subtle body is the creation of material nature. Under the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and as such, his bodily and mental activities should be engaged in the Krishna, in the service of Krishna. In Krishna consciousness, the ignorant man forgets that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Rishikesha, or the master of the senses of the material body. For due to his long misuse of the senses in sense gratification, he is factually bewildered by the false ego, which makes him forget his eternal relationship with Krishna.
So the first part, Srila Prabhupada is stating the same thing, like, you know, the two persons, one in Krishna consciousness, other in, both they work, seemingly work, no, activities are same, but, you know, their consciousness is different, so there is a wide gulf of difference. And now, next, from afterwards, after that first sentence, Srila Prabhupada is telling us, you know, what is the mentality of a materialistic person? So if you want to write a heading for this purport, this is what it is. He is telling us about the mentality of a materialistic person, and we can bullet all these things now. The first thing is, we'll just say it and also we'll try to elaborate these things. First thing Srila Prabhupada is telling is, a person in material consciousness is convinced by false ego that he is the doer of everything. That's first point Srila Prabhupada is telling. So we all can relate to this, right? So anything, any small thing we do, you know, even though so many teammates and so many other factors are helping us, you know, especially at workplace we see it so often, right? I did this. The word I, right? I is so arrogant thing. That's why, you know, sometimes if you notice, Srila Prabhupada or any of our acharyas, when they speak, sometimes they say we. You know why we?
You and super soul.
Yeah, it's you and super soul. When we say I, you know, it's so arrogant. So they, you know, so natural for them. They say, you know, okay, we have been there, or, you know, we have done that. So it includes me and super soul, because without super soul guidance, nothing is happening.
Our soul.
So we, in the body, there are two souls, right? One is us and the super soul. Super soul is nothing but Krishna's expansion, the Paramatma, right? So Paramatma is guiding our activities, he is permitting our actions. So anything, actually, it is said that, you know, first the Lord sees, then we see. So we may feel like, you know, I am seeing it, right? Actually, first the super soul sees, then, you know, our bodily mechanisms act, and then we see it. Similarly, first the Lord hears, then we hear. Lord smells, then we smell.
So the difference was, the super soul is not the soul that we have, but the peace of God.
Yeah, we can say like that.
It's
expansion of the Lord.
There are two souls.
Yes.
So one is our own soul, our own spirit.
Yes.
And then another.
Yes.
Which is connection.
Correct. So everybody has two souls. So he's, because of false ego, he's convinced that he is a doer of everything. But whereas, you know, what are the other doers? Does anybody remember the verse from Bhagavad Gita where there are five doers, Krishna says? We discuss this already. Does anybody remember the five doers? For any action, there are five doers. Or five factors of an action. We discuss this, right?
Yeah.
Okay, it's Okay, we'll go to that verse. 18th chapter, 13th, 14th verse. Actually, 14th verse. So Krishna is saying, we can read 13th also, translation. Oh, mighty armed Arjuna, according to the Vedanta, there are five causes of for the accomplishment of all action. 18th chapter, 13th and 14th verse. There are five causes for the accomplishment of all action. Now learn of these from me. 14th, the place of action, the body, the performer, the various senses, the many different kinds of endeavor, and ultimately the super soul. These are the five factors of action. So for any action to be performed, these are the five factors which are involved. One is place of action, the body. Second one is performer. This is the soul, basically. This is the eye. Third one is various senses, because senses do the activity. Fourth, different kinds of endeavor. So for any activity, there needs to be endeavor. So based on the amount of endeavor, we get the results sometimes. And last is super soul. Last but not the least.
Endeavor is body itself, right? But the body is doing that, right?
No, body is, no, the living entity is situated in that body. And then there are various types of endeavor, attempts. See, in the sense, I don't know exactly, you know, how each of them are contributing to this thing, but see, for example, if you don't have the body, you cannot do activity. Like, for example, let's say I don't have a hand, then I cannot do certain activity, right? Let's say activity is like cooking or something. So I need to have the body to cook, right? And the next point is using the senses to cook. The next point is doing the endeavor to cook. Got it? Okay, so these are the five factors. But we think that performer is the only factor. We forget about all those things and we think, you know, I'm the doer. So that's one point Krishna, Prabhupada is telling about the materialistic person. The next point is, yeah, exactly, it's the same continuing that, you know, he does not know that the mechanism of the body is produced by material nature, which works under the supervision of the Supreme Lord. So the body is awarded by the material nature and it's working under the supervision of the Supreme Lord. So which verse Krishna says that this material nature is working under my direction? Any pros? So verse number ninth chapter, 10th verse. Krishna says, this maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetu nanena kaunteya jagat vipari vartate. This material nature, which is one of my energies, is working under my direction. O son of Kunti, producing all moving and non-moving beings. Under its rule, this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. So this verse is a very, very popular verse where Krishna says, this material nature is my energy and it's working under my direction. Sometimes, you know, materialists or general people, you know, atheists, they think this material nature is all in all. This is the, you know, ultimate thing. God is actually subservient to the nature. But where Krishna here, he says that, you know, material nature is subservient to him. So that's what Srila Prabhupada is paraphrasing in the purport, that this body is awarded by the material nature and material nature is indirectly controlled by the Lord. So indirectly, each person is acting under Lord's control. So that's what is the next statement. The materialistic person has no knowledge that ultimately he is under the control of Krishna. So that's the third point. Next, Srila Prabhupada, the person in false ego takes all credit for doing everything independently and that is a symptom of his nescience. He does not know that this gross and subtle body is creation of material nature under the order of Supreme Personality of Godhead, and as such, his bodily and mental activities should be engaged in the service of Krishna. This is the same point again. And then what does he do? He forgets that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the master and thus he does not have a relationship with him. Because of false ego, because of long misuse of senses, he doesn't establish relationship with the Lord. So he doesn't even, he's not aware of Krishna, that he's a master, and he doesn't even, because of long misuse of senses, he's bewildered and he doesn't even attempt to establish relationship with the Lord. When we contrast this purport with the next purport, we'll see actually in the next purport, Srila Prabhupada is going to talk about how a devotee does things. In this, he talked about how materialistic person views things and does things, and you know, what is his conception about God, what is his conception about activities, right? Or material nature or the body. But whereas in the next purport, we see how a devotee views things. Okay, we can go to the next verse. Any questions or comments about the earlier verse? What is did anybody want to share, like, you know, any experiences where they thought they are the doer, but actually, you know, they had to come to the conclusion that, you know, why am I bothered about it? It's not in my control. I mean, any of us have, right?
I had a very something very simple today, Madhuri.
Yeah.
Very simple.
Yeah.
I am having a little cough. In my pod, people, somebody said, generally nice person, okay, go away from the pod, we will get the this one. Then somebody else said the same thing. They are generally nice people. Then I thought, okay, I'll go sit next to the next room, because I didn't want to come home and work. I wanted to go next and work. I thought I'll go carry, ask, I didn't carry laptop, I'll ask some, like, so many, everybody has a laptop now, okay, there's so many, like, there are pods full of laptops, people went to meetings, that just no one is using. So I went to one pod and I asked one person, she said her machine is broke down and she needs the laptop. Then I asked the person in front of her, he said, I'm using it for something, I'll you do it for 10 minutes. Then I waited to someone else, I asked. So I got so many reasons that, okay, then I thought, okay, today it's not going to happen. Okay, I'm destined not to do this today. Just came home.
Okay.
I tried very hard to actually.
Okay. And, you know, and many times when you have some situations, we try to fix things, right? Like, any some problem in life or, you know, some financial issue, or, you know, especially, you know, solving programming problems at work or so many things, right? Like, we try to use all our faculties, you know, oh, I can do it. That's how we start. Then slowly, slowly, when we figure out, you know, it's not working out, then we, you know, slowly start surrendering to, you know, Krishna, and then accepting other factors. Oh, factors is, you know, maybe, you know, the build problem, or, you know, that person created a bug, it's not mine, or, you know, other factors come into place. Then this reminds me of actually that incident we can share, about Draupadi, right?
Yes.
How does it relate? Draupadi, when she was being...
Vastraharan. Both the hands, that's the surrendering.
So Vastraharan, that situation, right? Like, so what she did, what she tried to first initially, you know, request her husband. Husbands, you know, you are supposed to be my protector, and, you know, you promised, that's how married me. Now you are supposed to protect me. So, you know, what happened? You kind of, you lost me like this. And then none of them were able to say anything, because they themselves were lost. Then after that, she asked all the acharyas, like, you know, gurus, like Bhishma Dev and Dronacharya, all those people, you know, you are elderly persons, you are supposed to protect women. What happened? You are not saying anything. Then they didn't say anything. So then, finally, with two of her hands, she was trying to hold herself, the sari, protect herself. Then, finally, she figured, you know, the Dushyasana was so strong. Then she held one hand, and other hand, she was trying to call Krishna. Still, it didn't work out. Then, finally, she figured, you know, it's not in my chance. So, she gave up two hands, say, hey, Krishna, hey, Govinda, please protect me. Then, there is unlimited supply of sari, and then she was saved. So at least, you know, she was, we can learn practically from this experience, you know, she was trying to, you know, get help from others and, you know, try to solve it herself. But what it required was complete surrender, then Krishna reciprocated.
Mother,
Maharaj, Madhavi had the same question, like question related to this. Generally, Krishna says, right, you do your duty,
yeah,
and then surrender to me, and then do your duty. So, if Draupadi has, at least she should, as, on her part, she had to try, right?
Mm.
Then there's nothing wrong in what she did, right?
Yeah, in that way, that's okay. But that depends on you know what Krishna wants actually from us. In that particular incident,
mm-hmm.
Krishna, for us actually, that's most of it. Most of the time, that's what we need to do. No, otherwise we become like parasites. So we just don't do anything and say, "Oh, Krishna will give me food to eat." Krishna, we are not supposed to be parasites. We, that's why, you know, there are.
So maybe in situations where we can control in those situations.
But we don't do it in a way to control, in a way of controlling, in a way that, you know, I am controlling.
Mm-hmm.
We do in the mood of, you know, I'll hopefully, you know, this will help. Like, for example, any major service I have to do, right? We pray to Krishna, "Krishna, give me intelligence to do this service." So we are depending on Krishna. At the same time, we are doing. I'm not saying, "Krishna, this service, okay, I'll close my hands and let it happen on its own." Then we are parasite. Or we say, "No, okay, I'm going to do this." Then where is Krishna? I don't remember anything. I don't remember. Then we are doer.
I think it also goes back to not being attached to the result. So if there is something that you may be in a problem, like you told about the programming problem or any other kind of thing, we have to try from our end.
Mm.
Not always thinking that it will get solved, probably, but put in our best efforts. If it doesn't get solved, then you come to the conclusion, okay, it's not in my hands. But it's not like you refrain from even trying.
No, but we can.
It will be in God's hand whether it happens or not.
Yeah, that's
right?
True.
Thinking with that, going with that mindset, but at least giving your best.
That's right. But what I'm saying is that may be a little bit pitfall in that, because we may, when it fails, we try to realize that it's not in my hands. But what I'm saying is the consciousness should be, from the beginning, it's actually, I'm just acting like a servant. Or I'm just acting, doing my menial, you know, little bit something, whatever I have to do. But from the beginning, before, now and later on, it's not in my hands. It's not that, you know, once in a while we get a hammer hit, then we realize it's not in my hands. That's how we are actually, you know, we don't have that consciousness. That's
it's
when
later only we realize.
Exactly,
that
that's when these incidents happen, then we wake up suddenly, you know, these things are not in my hands. Or
sometimes
not.
I'm worse than that, Mataji. Sometimes I try to do that, then if it fails, I'm like, "Oh, man, Krishna, what have you done? If it works, it's like, yeah."
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Yeah, because after that is very interesting with Draupadi. Then later on, Draupadi met, we discussed this also earlier. Draupadi met Krishna and she asked, you know, "I am your surrendered servant and I was so much in desperate help and, you know, I was calling, I was depending on you so much, and why you took
so
much
time
for you? Why you didn't come, you know,
immediately?
You know, so long I had to ask so many people." Then he said, "You know, you didn't call me in the first place, so why will I come?"
Yeah.
"So you didn't call for me, so I didn't come." So Krishna, you know, at that incident, he was showing that, you know, he wants that absolute, complete surrender. Then, you know, "I will help you."
But God doesn't have an ego, right?
No, God doesn't have ego, but he wants, he likes to play with his devotees.
Yeah, like I always see our relationship with God like our relationship with our kids. Sometimes we
kids.
Let them let them work harder to achieve something, because it's good for them, like for a kid, right? We can help them writing something, but we are saying, "Try yourself."
Yeah.
Once he's trying, he's learning a lot, we know that. So I think I just try to extrapolate, okay, God may be letting us know, okay, try yourself, and then it's, we are growing, right? Ultimately.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The explanation I heard was that, you know, devotees are like gold. Once you heat it up, that's when the radiance comes out.
Yes.
So when you put them in difficult situation, their bhakti and things come out to Krishna knows that. But what about others? Did we all know that before this incident that she was a true devotee? One incident proves that she is a true devotee.
That's right.
Another incident for surrender was Gajendra Moksha. So he was fighting with all his might to the crocodile. But
At the end, he surrendered.
Only when his trunk was just about to go, and he said, "Okay, there's no way I can do this."
Yeah.
There was an elephant.
Oh,
Gajendra. He was a devotee. He was to took birth as a elephant in that life. Then, yeah.
So, Mataji, in the form of an animal species, do the animals have the consciousness about God?
In general, not. In general, animals in different bodies, they are just burning their karma. But there could be special, you know, devotees born in such animals, especially when we read Bhagavatam about such incidents. That's when, or you know, sometimes we hear some incidents where cows are coming and sitting in Bhagavatam class. Every day the cow comes at the same time, or dog comes. No, these are special devotees. Or especially, you know, all the animals or in anything in Vrindavan, they are just, it's their last birth. Monkeys or anything, it's just their last birth. They are more fortunate than us, who we go and visit for 2-3 days and come back and do nonsense. But you know that, yeah, there's
that's
some special
meaning getting out of the blood,
yeah,
death and
yeah, yeah,
I mean, directly from animal to out from,
yeah,
the cycle.
Yeah, the Vrindavan, they're born in Vrindavan.
Because we had learned in Devayas that the form in which we can get freedom is human. You have to be in a human form.
That's why she,
right,
said special.
So yeah.
Only in animals in
Vrindavan. Yeah. Okay. Which verse are we talking about? 28. Yeah, 28. So we didn't discuss the translation yet, right? Sanskrit?
We didn't,
okay.
Tattvavindu Mahabhavo Guna Karma Vikavyo Guna Guneshu Vartanta Iti Matvana Sajjate. Tattvavindu Mahabhavo Guna Karma Vikavyo Guna Guneshu Vartanta Iti Matvana Sajjate.
One who is in knowledge of the Absolute Truth, O Mighty Armed, does not engage himself in the senses and sense gratification, knowing well the differences between the work in devotion and work for fruitive results. So here he is talking about, you know, the devotee or, you know, detached worker, devotional worker. He, because he is in knowledge of Absolute Truth, what does he do? First of all, he doesn't engage himself in sense gratification. And the next, because what happens? He knows the difference between work in devotion and work for fruitive results. He knows what is the effect of, you know, working for sense gratification, what is the effect of working for devotion. So he obviously chooses the better one. So the difference between materialistic or, you know, attached person and the detached person is, what's the difference? Is the knowledge. Yeah, consciousness or knowledge. So the materialistic person identifies himself with the body. So he doesn't identify himself as a spirit soul, because of which everything else in his life becomes like that. Everything else revolves around, because if I think I am the body, so I try to do everything possible to satisfy the body. It's all about cosmetics or, you know, whatever, you know, money or enjoyment, everything. Right? That's how the whole materialistic life is about. But whereas a devotional person, he has, or at least theoretically or maybe to some extent realized that, you know, I am spirit soul. Then accordingly, his all investments are around spiritual progress. So the difference between both is the knowledge. One is aware that, you know, he is a spirit soul, other one is not aware. Okay, so we can read the purport. Now we'll see, you know, how Prabhupada says, you know, devotional person relates to God, relates to himself and relates to, you know, his activities.
The knower of the Absolute Truth is convinced of his acquired position in the material association. He knows that he is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, and that his position should not be in the material creation. He knows his real identity as part and parcel of the Supreme, who is eternal bliss and knowledge, and he realizes that somehow or the other he is entrapped in a material conception of life. In this pure state of existence, he is meant to dovetail his activities in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. He therefore engages himself in the activities of Krishna consciousness and becomes naturally unattached to the activities of material senses, which are all circumstantial and temporary. He knows that his material condition of life is under the supreme control of the Lord. Consequently, he is not disturbed by all kinds of material reactions, which is considered to be the mercy of the Lord. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, one who knows the absolute truth in three different features, namely Brahman, Paramatma, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is called Tattvavit. For he knows also his own factual position in relationship with the Supreme.
Okay. So essentially what Srila Prabhupada is telling is that this first statement is so powerful. The knower of the absolute truth is convinced of his awkward position in material association. That means to some extent he knows that, you know, I am spirit soul, but somehow or the other I am entrapped in this body. So he knows that, you know, I am in very it's like fish out of water, you know. He feels very awkward, you know. I'm not supposed to be here, but I'm somehow here. So I just have to, you know, best use of the bad bargain. Let me just do the best use of the bad bargain. Use this body as a vehicle to get out, because I'm not supposed to be here in the first place. That's why, you know, the other person, he doesn't know that. He thinks I'm the body, so he does everything for the body. So then Srila Prabhupada elaborates that, you know, he knows that the part and parcel, that he is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord, and everything related to that. So, you know, even though he is not pure yet, but what Prabhupada is telling is, in his pure state of existence, he is meant to dovetail his activities in devotional service of Supreme Lord Krishna. So he knows that's the goal. Goal is, in the pure state, I have to dovetail my activities. So let me try from now on. He therefore engages himself in the activities of Krishna consciousness and becomes naturally unattached to activities of material senses. And at the same time, he is aware of, you know, that material body, everything is given by the Lord. And also whatever reactions he faces, he considers them to be mercy of the Lord. And last line, Srila Prabhupada says that he also knows his factual position in relationship with the Supreme. Now if we contrast these two purports, we see, right, everything is opposite here, right? Every point Srila Prabhupada tells in a different way here. See, for example, last line, right? Due to long misuse of senses and sense gratification, he factually bewildered with a false ego, he forgets his eternal relationship with Krishna. Whereas here he says, he knows his factual position relationship with Krishna. So if you want to go deeper, you can like bullet the first purport and bullet the second purport. Then you can correlate, you know, how a materialistic person views things and how a devotional person views things. So because he knows the effect of working in devotion versus working fruitive results, he doesn't engage in sense gratification. Okay. Any points or questions or comments for this verse?
In the last, Vardhan's mentioned the three different features, namely Brahman, Paramatma, and Supreme Personality of God. So, Brahman is like the material energy, or the Brahman we are calling that Brahman is that
effulgence from the Lord. Effulgence.
So, what is the significance knowing effulgence means that I didn't get? So absolute truth is considered, Brahman is one of the absolute truth.
Yeah. So, no, one who knows absolute truth in three different features is called Tattvavit.
three different features.
We have this. So absolute truth can be realized in three different phases, right? Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. Right? So this person, he is full in knowledge, so he knows all these three aspects of the God. And that Bhagavatam verse says that person is called Tattvavit.
Okay. So far I was considering like we are dividing into Paramatma and Supreme Personality of God, but Brahman is also like a...
Yeah, Brahman is also one aspect, one way of realizing God. Like, or rather one stage. we had this exam today. I'm going to cover discuss the answers, variety of answers I heard.
Do you have questions?
Yeah. Okay, that's why I'm watching the time, so we have enough time to discuss. Okay, maybe, yeah, we can do this first, I think. 29 or maybe not, let's spend time discussing the paper.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
We all have something else to do.
What? So really? That's okay. You can stay for a while. We can stop here. Any questions or comments? We'll stop here.